Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
Now, there are some things that we can do right now. Last month,
I had... wasn't a dress code violation. It was a matter of, you know, for his own well-being.
Freedom! Freedom! Freedom!
I would ask why it's so secretive.
Makes me so frustrated.
Yeah, world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast at 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, a radio show for patriots, by patriots. And every night we take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. And remember, as we march together over the tops of the heads of imbeciles, liberals, just when you hear the word liberal, you want to just step on someone's head. Huh? All right, so now that that's cleared up, 877-876 is the number, 877-876-7445. Coming on the show this very first hour is Pastor David Castorini with Castorini Youth Ministries as we talk about the CDC wanting to get rid of cigarette smoking altogether by the year 2020. How are they going to do that? Well, they're going to enlist, at least Pastor Castorini's going to tell us, and I've got Slapback in my headphones studio. Castorini's going to tell us that that's going to be done, at least in part, by employing the services of our ministers, of our clerics, of our religious leaders, that those are the people that can convince us that cigarette smoking is bad, that we should get off of cigarette smoking, and that the government is, in many ways, doing us a favor. And, you know, my feeling is this, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. I think it's a really sneaky way for the federal government, if that's what they're doing, to, you know, wind their way into our lives by having our minister or our preacher or our priest talk to us about it. So we'll find out about that coming up, and then we got more for you tonight. Don't worry about it. We're going to have Vernon Dozier coming up talking about gas prices. Vernon is not only a high school football coach, but a gas station owner in Glendale, California. He'll be talking to us about the high price of gas, the high price of freedom. A popular political blog faces harsh criticism for a post that called Trig Palin retarded and a byproduct of incest. And a Iowa college professor says F you to college Republicans. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, WWRL 1600 in New York City and KZBI 94.5 FM in Elko, Nevada. Great to have you guys with us as we bring on Pastor Reverend Castorini. And Reverend, how are you tonight?
Hey, Phil, good.
And I know you're traveling between Los Angeles and Las Vegas this evening. It's good to have you with us. Everything okay out there?
It's going really good, Phil, and we're happy to be on with you, and thank you very much. God bless you.
All right. Now, I know that you are very intent on speaking out on behalf of the CDC, the federal government, in getting people to quit smoking, right?
That is correct, yes. And the reason, I think, is a reason that I think we can all relate to, and that is the fact that cigarette smoking is bad for you, but more than just speaking out against smoking, which we've had plenty of people doing, we're going to get rid of cigarette smoking by 2020. That's the goal of the Center for Disease Control. It's going to be our goal. That's going to be my goal when I speak on Sundays. When I speak to our congregation, I'm giving our homily or sermon. My goal is going to be to get people to quit smoking. I think everyone understands this. But we're going to have laws across this country, Phil, that are going to be exciting. I think people are going to appreciate the fact that these laws eliminating cigarette smoking will be a part of not just public places, but also private places, and will, at the same time, not be intrusive.
All right. Now, before you keep going here, Pastor, with all due respect, you know, I know, because you told me, that it is your opinion the federal government's going to go a lot further in pushing its messages if it uses the clerics, if it uses religious leaders, if it uses ministers and preachers and so forth. Do you worry about being used, number one? And number two, are you worried about some blurring of the line between church and state?
No, Phil, I don't worry about blurring the line between church and state any more than some pastors might worry about blurring the line between church and state when they speak out against abortion or when they speak out against some of these other ungodly things that we practice as human beings. God knows why we do them. I'm speaking out against cigarette smoking primarily because it injures the health and the well-being of our congregation, members of our congregation. It injures the health and well-being of all people. And it's not just enough to get rid of cigarette smoking in public places. We've got to get rid of it in the private homes, in the private dwellings, in the private restaurants, and in stores and places that heretofore have been untouched by these laws.
And all right, so you're talking about getting rid of cigarette smoking in these attached dwellings, apartments?
Not just apartments, but single dwellings, unattached dwellings.
And so private homes?
In private homes as well, yeah.
So that is getting rid of no smoking in your house at all?
No smoking in your house at all, no. And let me tell you the reason for that. First of all, the cigarette smoke is going to get into the fabric. It's going to get into the materials of the home. It's going to get into the walls and could become injurious to anyone living there, either the family living there currently or family living there afterward. So if you don't smoke, that injurious material doesn't get into those walls, into the wood, into the other areas of the house that, you know, will absorb that, whether it's wood or it's particle board or something like that. Now, we don't want people smoking in homes, not only not to injure people, but also because the resale value of that house is going to go down. And if the resale value of that home goes down, that means that the neighborhood is not worth as much as it might have been. And the government sees an opportunity here to encourage the economic vitality of the community, and that is the economic vitality of real estate, so that with people not smoking.
All right, hold on for just a minute here, Pastor, because now we're getting into some areas that are really... Now I really got some questions here. Now you're telling me that the government wants to get involved in controlling the real estate prices to promote economic health, and one way of doing that is so that people do not smoke in the homes. And I will ask you again, you don't see that as too intrusive?
No, I don't see it as intrusive, Phil, because the message is being delivered by me. If it were being delivered by...
Well, what's the difference? Because you're a religious, because you're a pastor?
Because I'm a religious leader. I'm a congregational leader. I'm a spokesman for my congregation. I'm also one of the people who articulates the Word of God. And as one who articulates the Word of God, I'm an individual who represents God here on this earth. I am not God, but I can only represent God. Now, what better way to get people to alter their habits and to stop smoking in their home, stop injuring their children, and stop injuring the house itself so that you can sell it for a decent price and the neighborhood does not lose value, than your religious leader, your pastor, your reverend, the leader of your flock.
And so is the government coming to you and asking you, would you please speak on behalf of quitting smoking?
It was something that we put forward, myself and other members of diocesan and denominational religious leaders, mostly of the Pentecostal congregation, but there were others. And it was our idea that if we promoted this to our congregations, it would be better received.
And what are you getting in return?
You know something, Phil? I'm not getting anything in return. You know what I'm getting in return? I'm getting the feeling, the good feeling that I am getting people to quit smoking. And I'm getting people to quit smoking on behalf of the United States government as well, so that we'll have a healthier citizenry. And yes, so that we'll have better resale value on our homes, so that we can communicate better with each other. We have healthier workplaces. We have healthier children. I'm not getting anything, Phil, other than a healthier America. And I'm not getting anything other than, if you ask me, what am I getting? You're asking me in terms of material sense.
I'm asking you, what are you getting? Are you getting paid by the government? Are you getting anything to spread as a religious minister, to spread the message of the United States government?
Let's keep this in mind, Phil. Let's not separate it out. It's the Word of God that I'm spreading. I'm spreading the Word of God.
You're spreading the message of the United States government.
No, but I am spreading the Word of God. God does not want us to injure ourselves by using this tobacco. So it is a rare opportunity for anyone, including myself, to speak on behalf of God and the government at the same time. And we know that Jesus said, render unto Caesar things that are Caesar's and to God things that are God's. But we have a rare opportunity here where we see those two interests that are blended together. I'm invited to speak to government officials at dinners across this country where we can solidify our message.
All right, so what you're getting out of all of this is just the ability to speak to your congregation, other members of the American community, and say, don't smoke, and quit smoking in your homes, quit smoking in your offices, quit smoking around your children, quit smoking in your private residence, whether it's an attached dwelling or not, and you get nothing out of this.
I get nothing out of it, Phil, except healthy parishioners, they live longer. If you're asking me, what am I going to get out of it? I'm getting nothing out of it, Phil. There are two homes that are bordering our hermitage. Now, the hermitage is where my wife and I live. These two homes are on a piece of property that border our hermitage. They are currently the residences of two elderly couples who are members of our congregation. And they are cigarette smokers. So if you're asking me, what am I getting out of it, I would like to see those people quit smoking, because I can smell the cigarette smoke. The property that they're on is very, very valuable. And if you ask me, what am I getting out of it, I would like for them to, they're very old, so they're probably not going to be with us much longer. And I want you to understand what I'm saying here, Phil.
No. What are you getting out of it? I want to know.
I want you to understand something. What I'm getting out of it will be the use of that property, because they will pass on eventually, and it will be eminent domain and then sold to me. Now, why is that a good thing?
Hold on for a minute.
I'd like to answer the question why it's a good thing.
No, hold on for just a minute, because now you're telling me that you're speaking on behalf of not smoking for the government, and they're going to eminent domain and condemn two pieces of property that will be sold back to you, I'm sure, at what?
At market value, Mr. Hendry. I'm not getting any discount at all. At all.
And what happens to the older people that live in these places?
They are elderly people. They are at the end of their lives. They will be taken care of by our hermitage. And
they'll be taken care of by your hermitage.
Phil, healthy parishioners live longer, and when they live longer, they donate more money. I don't need the money. I don't need the property. I'm doing this as a favor to our congregation in general. We need a youth center. We need a larger hermitage, a larger home for my wife and myself. And
all right, so here we find the ulterior motives, and this is the thing that I was afraid of. You know, Pastor Castorini.
No, this is not an ulterior motive, Phil. And please, keep an open mind. Keep your eye on God.
Pastor Castorini, there is an ulterior motive here when you say to me that you want to get people to quit smoking cigarettes, and you're going to go across the country on behalf of the government and spread this message. And it turns out that you want cigarette smoking finished everywhere, and in exchange, you're getting some property, eminent domain. You don't see that as an ulterior motive.
I certainly do not, Phil, because the property is going to be sold to me. It's going to be sold to me market value. It's not going to be given to me. The elderly people that are living in that home will be taken care of by a hermitage. This is for our congregation. It is not for me.
What is it? You said it's for the hermitage. That means it's going to be your living quarters.
It's going, whoever the pastor of this church is, it will be their living quarters. Right now it's me.
Well, right now it's you, but then later down the road it could be somebody else.
Yes, that's correct.
These are ulterior motives. What I'm saying here is that you are working on behalf of the government in your sermons. You're telling people don't smoke cigarettes, and you at the same time are getting I got to call it a kickback, Pastor.
Well, Phil, that kind of an insult, I hope God forgives you. I represent God on this earth. I am a pastor. I speak the word of God, and as such, I do represent God on this earth. And I know that God does not want us to smoke. I'm an advocate for a smoke-free America. I am not going to be getting that property for free.
All right, I got to take a break, and we'll get back to this, all right?
But I want to finish up some points I was making.
All right, that's fine, but 877-876-PHIL, the Phil Hendry Show here. Your phone calls for our guest, Reverend David Castorini, coming up. He's an advocate for a smoke-free America by 2020, which is exactly what the CDC wants. But does he have ulterior motives? Are you comfortable with his cooperation with the government to push this idea? Should religious leaders cooperate with the government and combine their efforts with the government to push a government message? But he says, no, it's really a religious message. It's a religious message of health. And as a representative of God, that's the message he's pushing. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Right, now here are the points I want to make.
The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Because of what you did today. All right, because I was on that freeway. Welcome back, our world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Pastor David Castorini, who is involved in a program. I don't know what you would call it, but I know that you said that a group of interdenominational pastors, reverends from a variety of churches, some most Pentecostal, I guess, are advocating on behalf of the CDC and giving up cigarette smoking. Now, I'm just telling you that when you combine a commercial pitch with a sermon,
Phil, it's not a commercial pitch. I wish you would. I really do wish, Phil, that you would open your heart to God and let the truth speak. It's not a commercial pitch.
It is a commercial pitch, Pastor, when you say that you're pitching on behalf of the CDC and you're going to get yourself some property eminent domained, and you're going to be able to, you know, expand your living quarters.
These are not my living quarters. I told you this is the Hermitage.
All right, let's talk about meeting President Obama. Did you meet him today?
I was part of a contingent of individuals that came from the San Gabriel Valley to Sony Studios. Some of us were religious, some of us were business leaders. I was a part of a contingent. I shook the man's hand, and I was excited to meet the president. I did meet the first lady, and we were a part of a Sony Studio Q&A that took place, a town hall, and we have been invited to stay at the White House in June. And none of this, Phil, has anything to do with any commercial opportunity. It's just that I admire the man very much. And
were you given these invitations to come to the White House and given this invitation to go to Sony today because of your work with the CDC?
No, I was not. If that was the reason, no one said it to me. All I know is I got...
Well, you know full well that if you're playing ball...
I'm not, Phil, putting up playing ball. I am a representative of God Almighty on this earth. As such, it is my job to get the human family to live better together and to live more healthy together. And to that end, why would I not cooperate with the government in getting that message out?
Why would you not cooperate, especially when you're getting property eminent domained?
I'm not going to have any more comment on that. I've commented on that. I think you're turning that into something very ugly, but I'm not going to have more comment on that.
877-876-PHIL is the number here. 877-876-7445 on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Junior in Louisville, Kentucky, you're on with Pastor David Castorini. Go ahead, please.
Yes. You know, I understand that you're supposed to be spreading the message of God. You know, that shouldn't have anything to do with the federal government.
Yes, sir.
Their agenda is one thing. Your agenda should be another, regardless whether it's the same or not. You are crossing the line between church and state.
If it is the same, though, Junior, then why not say it? You know,
But here's the thing, you know, just like what Phil was talking about on, you know, the properties that you're talking about, how can they have a decision?
You guys are leaning on that.
That shouldn't have
you're leaning on that
to
too much.
Wait a minute. I didn't hear what the man's comment... I want to hear Junior's comment. I didn't get to hear his comment. Go ahead. Start it again, sir, because you butted in there, Reverend.
Oh, he's leaning on that too heavy.
Go ahead, sir.
I was saying, you know, why should the properties have anything to do with it? If you're spreading the word of God, that should be in that period. You should be able to find enough deals on your own. I understand it's the same message, and that's fine and dandy, but it's just like this, you know, people don't eat healthy either in this country. You know, does that mean that you need to try to take and limit what people can buy on what they can eat just because they're not eating healthy? You know, that's a very good question.
Yes, sir, that's a good question. But let's remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and he said to the people, smash those golden calves. What did Moses do? He grabbed a hold of the physical property of those people and he destroyed it. Now,
well,
you could say the same thing
look,
about David Castorini. When I come down from the mount, God tells me, and I take your cigarettes and I step on them or put water on them, whatever.
Look, I'm a Christian and I am a smoker, and I know that it's not good for me. Okay, that is my choice. That's something that I have to live with in the end, either way I do it, whether I quit smoking or whether I continue to smoke.
It's a sin, though.
Somebody has
the
right to tell me that I have to quit or that I would have to smoke either way.
Or I would also say, or blackmail you by religious message either, Junior. That's I would also add that. We'll be right back. World Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Back to David Gasparini.
Blackmail.
Phil Hendry.
Lousy.
Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back. Vernon Dozier next hour on gas prices here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots, where every single night we are with you until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. With me is Pastor David Gasparini, and Pastor Gasparini is talking with me about his efforts and the efforts of other members of the religious leadership in this country to get us to quit smoking, which sounds like a laudable thing. I quit smoking, Pastor.
And you did, Phil, and I followed that very carefully. And God bless you for doing that.
Well, thank you, but it was hard. It was not hard, I should say, because I had pneumonia. But let me say this. You are talking about speaking on behalf of God, and you are then saying that you're going to go to the White House this summer and spend the night with your wife at the invitation of President Obama. It's very difficult for people to believe that you are speaking this message of quitting cigarette smoking and at the same time getting these favors from the White House. Do you understand?
I do understand, Phil, but I wanted to say that President Obama and members of the CDC have reached out to me, and they have said, you are doing a good job, Reverend Castorini. You're doing a great job to help get rid of cigarette smoking among our young people, among all the people. And you know that for the first time in a long time, someone is appreciating me and my efforts on behalf of spreading the word of God. Now, I know that Jesus Christ was persecuted. I don't compare myself to Jesus. But in many ways, like Jesus, I was persecuted and am persecuted, even by my own congregation, where I'm pushed around, I'm called names. I was involved in a very unfortunate, and I have asked God's forgiveness, and he has forgiven me. I've asked my wife's forgiveness, and she has forgiven me. But I was involved in a very unfortunate liaison with a young lady in our congregation. And since that time, I have been treated with utter disrespect. I have been called names. I have been physically pushed around. She is the daughter, by the way, Phil, of a very, very wealthy man who's a large shareholder of, guess what? R.J. Reynolds Tobacco. So this door swings both ways, Phil.
Wait. Hold the phone, man. You're having an affair. You had an affair with the daughter of a large shareholder of a tobacco company, and you're trying to get me to believe that this is all altruistic on your part?
It most certainly is altruistic. What I'm trying to say to you is I am being persecuted because I had this affair with a young lady whose father is involved in a tobacco company. It has nothing to do with me wanting to get back at him. It has nothing to do with that at all. And
so you didn't get involved in this not smoking campaign because of this father discovering that you were having an affair with his daughter. You just did it because you wanted to be a nice guy.
I did it because I was asked by the government to help out. I did it because we need a larger hermitage, so yes. And because President Obama appreciated us enough to invite us to the White House. But you know, that's just simply him saying, I appreciate you. And I said, well, thank you, because I have been treated like I am a leper in my own community. I've been treated like the leper in the Bible. I've been pushed out. I've been drugged down, as the Bible tells us, drugged down and pushed out. And I need a little help. I need a little Lazarus, a little bit of that Lazarus stuff.
877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show, that Lazarus stuff. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Nathan in Tampa, Florida. Nathan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
How you doing? I think it has to do with the justification behind quitting smoking. If we're a capitalist nation and they can prove that my smoking hurts the public, then I can go along with that. But if it's because of healthcare reasons and my smoking costs the government money, I think that's a socialist objective, and we need to denounce that to begin with. And in regards to the religious context, I don't think it should have anything to do with it. The pastor should take the route of just another citizen, lobby like any other citizen would, and he'd have better effect there. I'm not going to comment on his justification or drive behind this. That's a whole can of worms that opened after I called.
Well, I will say this to the young man. I'm doing God's work. It could be the government's work, if you want to see it that way, but I see it as God's work because I don't think God believes that we should injure ourselves, especially the temple of God, which is the body. And tobacco is nothing more than an injurious habit. And so what I'm saying to you is that God wants you to quit smoking cigarettes. God wants you to take care of yourself.
Well,
and by 2020, it just so happens that by 2020, we're going
to
get rid
of
cigarettes.
You just need to go through political channels to accomplish that goal. You're telling me your reasoning behind it.
Yes, sir.
That's fine. But you still need to go through the same channels as everyone else. And I
am doing that. And
take religion out
of
it. As long as you're going through as a citizen, who is a voting citizen, then that's how you accomplish things in the United States. Don't bring religion into it. That's your motive, not the end to me.
But it is about religion because I can't make it not be about religion. My congregation expects me to be Jesus Christ because he's long gone, and they need a symbol of that. So I have to be Jesus. And
well, that's not your job to be Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Your job is to be a whatever. I mean, like this guy was saying, you know, and what about this eminent domain thing? That's not religious.
It is absolutely. The eminent domain, Phil, is simply two heavily smoking old people stinking up where I live. And we need that property to expand our hermitage.
Well, you know what? You're getting an eminent domain because you're playing ball with the government, and that, to me, is an ulterior motive. Thank you very much, Nathan, for your call. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Pastor David Castrini, you know what I'm saying, right? That is an ulterior motive?
No, I don't know what you're saying. I know you brought it up last, and I think it's funny that you keep bringing up this property being eminent domain. It's very funny, Phil, that you think that me getting these two pieces of property, eminent domain, and then me being able to buy them at market value somehow break for me.
Didn't you get these pieces of property, eminent domain, by the government because you're playing ball in getting rid of people, or at least trying to get rid of smoking among your congregation?
I'm not going to comment on that because I told you it's trivial. I'm commenting more on a larger issue, and the larger issue is just as Moses came down from the mountain and smashed the physical property of a sinful people, so I am coming down from the mountain and smashing the physical property of sinful people. And what have I gotten in return? I've gotten abused. I've gotten driven from Canaan. I've been driven from Canaan. And I am wandering in the desert. And what I'm asking for, and when the President of the United States and the CDC and members of the government are the only friends that I've got in the world because my own congregation spits on me and lifts its leg to me, then I'm going to go and I'm going to spend the night at the White House. And it's a really a sad thing, Phil, when I have spent my whole life trying to do my very best for my congregation, for groups of people, religious or otherwise, in my community. And I am laughed at. I'm called a piece of you-know-what. When I'm walking into the church, people will bump into me, physically bump into me. And
yeah, but this is, are you saying that this is all because of this affair that you had with this young lady?
As far as I can tell, it's because the father of this young lady has instigated this because he knows that I speak the word of God, and he is a sinner as a shareholder with R.J. Reynolds.
You, boy, I'll tell you what.
No, not boy anything, Phil. This man is a sinner because he's a shareholder with R.J. Reynolds, and I had sex with his daughter, and I got God's forgiveness for that. I had my wife's forgiveness for that. And the congregation, however, they don't think God's good enough. They have to give their forgiveness. And as far as I'm concerned, my own congregation is living in mortal sin because they won't take God's word for it and forgive me. They have to have the ego to forgive me.
Well, your congregation is reacting with outrage because you had sex with someone other than your wife.
Excuse me, are you familiar with the... I didn't know that you knew the story.
Well, you're telling me the story right now. What am I saying that's wrong? You had sex with this woman. She wasn't your wife. She's the daughter of a guy who has a lot of money tied up with a tobacco company. And you've taken that as an opportunity to say the guy's got it in for you because you're anti-tobacco. The guy's got it in for you because you had sex with his daughter, because you're his preacher, and because you're a married guy. Now, as far as people bumping into you, or what are they doing? You're saying they're physically assaulting you?
They do things like push me and shove me and treat me as if I'm a leper in my own church.
And pushing and shoving you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They treat me like I'm a leper in my own church. So if I say that Barack Obama is a good man for allowing me to sleep at the White House, to spend the night at the White House with my wife, if I say Barack Obama's a good man because I went and I had lunch with him today at Sony Studios, I'm saying that, Phil, because he's the only one who gives, excuse me for saying this because I believe in God, but I've got to speak plainly, who gives a damn. Barack Obama, it feels good to say that. I believe in God Almighty, but it feels good to say damn, because I believe that members of my congregation are going to be damned to hell for what they did to me.
And you don't understand their outrage, you having sex with this woman.
It just doesn't equate. It's not the same thing. God forgave me. My wife forgave me. Why can't they forgive me? Let's move on. President Obama has had me as a guest. He's the only one. I'll take the president's friendship if my congregation, and a lot of them I know are going to start to use the word the kids use, suck up when they find out that Obama and I... that I'm going to go to the White House. They'll start sucking up.
877-876-PHIL. I don't know whether they're going to suck up or not, but I think that you do owe your congregation some explanation and to offset whatever childishness is going on. Here is Mona in Wichita, Kansas. Mona, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Pastor David Castorini. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Phil. It's Nona, N-O-N-A,
yes,
but I'd like to make a comment to the
yes,
pastor.
Ma'am.
I feel like he is being extremely judgmental. To say that you yourself, that you need to open your heart to God. I don't know where you stand with God, but it really is not his judgment to make that. And if he's going to make that comment to you when I don't agree with him, and I happen to be a strong Christian, then I feel like
very
he's
good.
Being judgmental. Wait
very
a minute,
good.
I'm not done. He's being judgmental.
I'm congratulating you.
No,
on,
you're not
I'm
letting
being,
me finish.
I'm congratulating you.
You're not letting me finish. You're not
Let her
letting
finish.
Me finish.
Let her finish.
Stop. Stop.
Say Obama.
Yeah, you
Obama
are being,
invited me to the White
I'm
House.
I'm not talking
the
about
White
Obama.
House.
I'm talking about
We're not
about
talking
you.
About Obama.
I'm talking
Go ahead,
about
Nona.
You.
Go ahead. Go
I'm
ahead, Nona.
I'm talking about your self-righteous, judgmental attitude towards other people who are Christians who don't believe the way you do, and I don't believe that we have a right to tell people what they can do in their homes, and I don't believe you have a right to judge Phil and say that his heart is not open to God. I also think that you are angry because of what has happened to you, and you're taking it on people who you don't like their habits. And I think
no,
the only way you can change behavior in people is to focus on the heart. And once people's hearts are changed towards God, then God can work in them to quit smoking. But it is not
right.
your job. And you are
I
being very
you.
Judgmental and hypocritical. And I don't appreciate
I
it. And I don't appreciate the way you are talking to Phil and judging him.
Ma'am, I think Mr. Henry would admit to you.
I cannot understand you.
I'm sorry. I'll speak louder. I think Mr. Henry would admit to you that he is about as perverse and base a human being when it comes to
oh,
his,
I think
what
that,
are you talking
I think
about?
That is, I
no,
think
he
that
is.
Is.
He's a radio personality. Ma'am, he's a radio personality.
Totally
he's a degenerate.
With your attitude,
he is a,
and you're not
are you
even
a drug
hearing
user,
me.
Phil?
Hey, wait
you
a second.
Don't hear me.
Let me speak
no
here.
Right to judge
David, that's
gentleman.
Unfair. Yeah, unfair. What do you mean, drug user? You know, I could sue you for that.
I didn't
that
use
is libelous.
The word drug user.
No, not you. I'm not you. I'm talking to the pastor. He said that I was a drug user.
Phil,
I don't care what
person.
He said about you.
You're
I'm
a radio
about what
personality,
you're saying
Phil.
About Phil.
And the radio personality that I'm talking to right now, Phil Henry, is a sexual degenerate.
You have no right to judge him. It's not your job to judge him as a pastor. It's your job to change the heart. Let God use you to change the heart of other people through the power of the Holy Spirit. You have no right to try to make people quit smoking.
Right.
That's God's job.
I have to do it. I've got to do it because God...
You owe Phil and you owe the rest of the Christian people in this country an apology for you. For your arrogance. For your arrogance. You are arrogant and judgmental.
But what do you say to a congregation of people that bumps into me and hits, you know, tries to backhand me in my genitals when I'm going up to the front of the...
What are you talking about?
I got backhanded.
You are, you know, you...
In the genitals.
I think you have issues that go far beyond the present one we're talking about. I think you need some special help. I feel sorry for you.
I'm trying to tell you that I asked God's forgiveness, and he forgave me.
But
I asked my wife's forgiveness, and she forgave me.
You're being judgmental. Would you like me to spend an hour telling you about the crap I've been through? No, we don't want to do that.
No,
I'm telling
cares.
You that if you are
but
saying
no
you are a minister,
you.
That you need to preach, you need to help people understand that only the power of Jesus can change their hearts, and then they will try to take care of their bodies, maybe.
Yes.
But you have no right to judge Phil like that. You don't know if he's a believer or not.
But you have to understand, ma'am, after all that happened, I'm walking up to
the sermon. I don't care what happened
to
you.
Someone backhanded me in the genitals.
I don't care what happened to you. You are a leader. You are the sheep. You're supposed to take care of your issues and lead the sheep. That's what you're supposed to do. Go get some help and then go back to the pulpit.
What are you talking about?
Go get some help.
What are you talking about?
Go get some help and then go back to the pulpit and then get back on the radio. I'm insulted that you would refer.
I need to forgive them. And forgive me. I need to forgive them. And Phil, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you
a psychiatric nurse.
You're on the radio.
I'm a psychiatric nurse. I just got off work and I think you have a lot of problems. I'm sorry. But that's about all I
that's
have to say.
That's a very
say.
Easy
so,
out, ma'am. That's
God,
a very easy
you know,
out, ma'am, to call a man
I'm,
crazy.
I think you...
Mr. Hendry is a radio personality, and as such, it's very likely he's a sexual degenerate. And
Boy.
I have
boy,
no more to say.
Boy.
I have no more to say. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you very much, Nona. It's Nona, not Mona.
No,
thank you very much.
Phil for letting me have a little...
Thank you.
Why does she thinks you're me? She says that she's a psychiatric nurse, and yet she thinks you're me, and I'm you.
A lot of people get confused with people on the phone. They don't know what they're listening to. She's so angry, and you're making these comments that are absolutely outrageous because I'm a radio personality. I'm a sexual degenerate.
No, Phil, I was making assumptions. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
You're wrong, okay?
Well, that's going to make a lot of young women very unhappy.
Will you hold the line? 877-876-7445. Pastor David Castorini, who's on this program speaking on behalf of the Center for Disease Control and Eliminating Smoking in the United States by 2020, and he is advocating this from the pulpit. He's advocating this in his church. It's a religious message as far as he's concerned. It's a spiritual message to not smoke, to keep the body pure, to respect the body. But we find out that he's really doing this more and more on behalf of the government. He's got some property that got eminent domain, so he's going to get that. He got invited to sleep at the White House this summer with his wife, Cassie, President Obama's invitation. Obama's the only guy that appreciates him. His congregation is hassling him and slapping him backhanded and, you know. 877-876-7445. That lady is right. There may be a psychiatric evaluation in his future. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Vernon Dozier, next hour on the rising gas prices. Boy, every 3-4 years, rising gas prices. Every 4-5 years, rising gas prices. Every decade, rising gas prices. Well, one of these days, and it won't be long, gonna drive back down and where it once belonged. I guess that's a blues song, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, back here with David Castorini, who is the pastor of Castorini Youth Ministries, as we talk about his efforts and the efforts of others to eliminate cigarette smoking. You've turned it into a religious pitch. I don't know that I have any problem with that, David. What I have a problem with is what I consider to be a very suspect relationship you have with the government on this.
Well, you have turned this. I'm going to tell you something. You have slandered me.
No, I have not. You slandered me with this religious degenerate thing. 877-876-PHIL. We got to get to a phone call. There's so much that I want to talk to you about. Here is, I believe it's Micheline in Bakersfield. Go ahead, please. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Listening to the things that the pastor or minister was saying, and if I was in the congregation, I would actually leave your church because you, I don't know you personally, but what I'm hearing from you, you're very hypocritic and you're very biased. And for you to say, okay, I've committed a sin, but then you're saying, well, everyone should forgive me because I asked for forgiveness. Saying that you're sorry and then doing all these other things that you're doing, it goes completely against what your religion speaks of. If you want your your neighbors...
Let's break it down. I had an affair. I'm sorry I did. I asked my wife's forgiveness. I asked the pastor's forgiveness. Or excuse me, I asked God. I didn't ask the young lady's forgiveness because I didn't have the time. I needed to make sure that I got all the right forgiveness.
But, sir, what I'm trying to get at is you asked everyone forgiveness. Many people probably did forgive you, but the way...
But the other ones forgive me Indian burns. The other ones gave me nookies.